go ahead and get started with our School Health Advisory Council meeting. This is the first one for the school year 2023-2024 at Karn City ISD, and we're in the boardroom. We're going to go around and have everybody acknowledge themselves and let us know what their titles are. We'll start with Chief of Police Salas. Go ahead.
Eddie Salas, Karn City Police Chief.
Scott Pitar, SRO.
Trey Martin, Child Nutrition Director.
Nurse Bloom, School District Nurse. And Rita?
Citizen. I don't know what title I need to give y'all.
Okay, thank you.
Allison Rudolph, mother of a third grade and kindergarten student.
Mike Sandrucci, Secondary Assistant Principal.
Francis Ehrlich, RAMS, Social Work Supervisor.
Molly Kaloji, ACE Program Director.
Okay, and we have Amanda Segura coming.
Sorry, with DSHS.
DSHS. I think we will have a few more coming, but I'm the type that when it's 4 o'clock, I know a lot of us have things to do and we want to go ahead and get going. So we're going to start today with the programs that we have available in the school district that serves our students and our parents. So we'll go ahead and start with the ACE program. Go ahead, Ms. Kaloji.
Just everything about it?
Yes.
You want me to be loud?
Yes.
Okay. So we serve KCP, RES, and Junior High in Karn City ISD, but we have 4 other sites that also work in Karnes County. We provide after-school programming, which includes a nutritional snack, academic enrichment, tutorials. You name it, we fill the need when it comes to their academic and social emotional needs and learning.
Thank you. Okay, next we have Frances Ehrlich, and I'm going to let her talk about her program. It's very exciting, something that just started a few months back.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So the RAMPT grant, which stands for, I have to look at my sticker all the time because it's a lot of initials. It's a Rural Area Mental Health Professional Enhancement and Development. See, that's why I have to read all of this. But it is really kind of shortly known as the RAMPT, the mental health grant here in Karn City. It is one of the federal grants that we've received. Our main goal is to increase the number of mental health professionals in our school districts. And we are working with 5 universities, so that whenever graduate students get to their internships and practicum, they will be doing their residency programs with us through the school, school counseling, school social work, and school psychology. So if we have any students that are coming to us that are wanting to get their master's degree in social work, I will be their supervisor. We do have 2 students starting in October from Our Lady of the Lake. We currently have an individual who's with Lamar for the school counseling program. He's working in Pettis, but so you will see lots of new faces throughout the 5 years. It's hope that they stay in our schools, but we know that there's always limited positions there, but we want them to stay in rural environments and hopefully in some kind of school capacity. And so that is the big objective of the grant, but it's also to increase school climate, and so we have professional development opportunities for all of the staff in the 4 school districts. We are also trying to help increase school climate through some opportunities with students, and so just like this morning we were in Rungi handing out some bookmarks and stickers for the students, just letting them know that their mental health is important. We are also stepping in as needed for counseling. When our interns are coming in, they will be doing group facilitations, families, individual, if needed, counseling. So we have a wide variety of services that we're providing our students and our staff and families through the mental health grant.
Okay, thank you.
A lot longer, but I'm newer. She's been around for a long time.
That's good. That's good. We're excited to have you here and have the program growing. I know mental health is very important in the area, and it's good that we can have other colleges come in with certain, what do they call, interns, or what do they call?
We call them residents.
Residents.
But most of the universities are calling them interns.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions about the program? No? Okay, we also had the FSCS grant. I don't have a representative here, and that's something that I can include with the, I can go ahead and include with our, okay, so Molly is here, and she can go ahead and do a little presentation on the FSCS grant.
So I used to work for Full Service. One of the main components is providing the basic needs of students in Karnes City ISD, so things like a food pantry, clothing. We also, well, I used to, respond to like emergency needs. So if there is a family in Karnes City ISD that experiences a catastrophic event, we're able to kind of help fill in. We don't do housing and things like that because, but when it comes to clothing, food, that's a big component of it. We work with the San Antonio Food Bank to help some of the food insecurity issues in Karnes County. They have done drive-through food bags. We have dropped them off on steps. Another big part is college and career readiness, especially at the high school. We do a lot of college and career trips and education. We bring people here. We did a big career fair last year. But those are kind of the big components. We also have counselors and case managers that work within FSCS that help to kind of take the weight off of our already overtaxed school counselors. Am I forgetting anything? That's kind of the big stuff. Is it's food, clothing, college career. That's kind of the big components of it. It's a lot of it's just footwork, ensuring that we know the kids and we know what they need, where they need it, how what gaps we can fill, and kind of the feet on the ground and the ears out in the community is our job.
Very good. Thank you for representing that. The other program that I had asked Alma Lopez, and she's with Juvenile Probation, to talk about positive action. I'm not quite sure which campuses they're going to be on this year. I don't know, Mr. Sanrusi, are they, do you know anything? No, I'm talking to Mr. Sanrusi. He's from the high school. I'll try to get that information and then go ahead and have it on the website for all of us to be aware of what they're providing.
I did talk to Alma not too long ago, and she said that they are currently doing Falsity, Kennedy, and I think Brundy has, but I'm not sure what they're going to do first.
Okay.
But they're doing tobacco vaping education, stuff like
that's
that.
That's why I was asking.
She said, I think they're hitting more of the ACE program. They're doing a curriculum in the ACE program.
We've got an MOU with them, so they're doing it a second hour enrichment also in some of the schools.
Good.
And I think it's in the works for Karnes City. I just don't know if they've gotten that far yet. But I think it's in the intention's there because Alicia kind of spearheads that portion of it with Full Service, too. That was the other part I forgot.
Okay. All right. Thank you for giving that little bit of information. We're going to go ahead and move on the health and safe school environment. And the first thing up for discussion is the communicable diseases. Of course, this year, COVID is slowly maybe going away. I'm not quite sure. It'll never go away, but it is not as intense and severe with the cases as it had been in the past 2 years. So the way our school district had been treating it is TEA had not sent out any new guidelines or new guidance for us. So we were basically treating it like the flu. If someone has signs and symptoms or they test positive at home, they either go to their physician, clinic. We've had many different ways that families have handled it. We've had some that just tested positive at home and stayed at home for a few days, and when there's no fever and the symptoms subsided or got better, they came. We've had some that have gone to clinics, and the clinics will say, as soon as you're fever free, you can come back. Well, we've had staff and students that after, first of all, some did not have fever, so they were going to come back the exact next day without the fever. We've had many clinics say, if you test positive home or in the clinic, they still want you to do the 5 days because of how we've done it in the past, plus they said that it can still be contagious. And I'm going to let Amanda talk a little bit more about it from the health department. Go ahead.
So basically, we, DSHS, I know people reach out all the time to tell to have us tell them what to do. We right. can't. And our portion of it is just to provide the guidance. We follow the CDC. It's 5 days, right. whether you're fever or not, only for the virus being shed through cough and sneezing.
Right.
Not everybody has the same symptoms. Some people don't have fever. Some people do have fever. Some people have a cough. Others just have sinus. And so for that reason, since everybody's different, it's just been the 5 days.
Right.
So okay. that is. And then, of course, it's still, if you do develop symptoms, you've already been contagious 24 hours before. So anybody you've already been in contact with is pretty much exposed. Right. So we don't isolate or do anything for exposures. It's just if you develop symptoms or...
Right.
I mean, who's to say? I would say, in my opinion, like if you're like my husband, who doesn't have any symptoms at all when he had
mm-hmm.
COVID.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I would have tested him is because one of my kids got sick, and so we just tested right. him in the house, but he was perfectly fine.
Right.
So, we still follow the 5 days. We recommend everybody following 5 days, whether you have fever or not. So.
Right.
But that is our guidance.
So that's the health department's guidance, and our guidance was if you get connected with the doctor, you follow the signs and symptoms. I could not say because we would get many calls. And so how many days you want to stay out? I've still had numerous families still wanting to do the quarantining of family members. The dad had it, the mom had it, they wanted to keep the children at home. All I could say is because we're worried about absences and truancy, get with your doctor. You know, talk to someone, you know, at the school, and then just take it from there. And it's all depending upon parents and how they want to react and how they want to handle.
And then the same thing with the flu.
Yes.
I mean, we've already seen in our area flus in June.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's already lurking. It's going to start making its way into with strep and everything else.
With strep and the flu.
If you're positive flu, the doctor keeps you home 5 to 7 days. So COVID should kind of stay in that same
follow
general.
The same.
You know what I mean? It's going to kind of sit there with those viruses. They're not going to be going away anytime soon. So.
We'll just go ahead and continue and treat as we know.
Wash your hands.
The hand washing is so very
Cover
important.
Your cough, wash your
as
hands.
As they say, and to be covering your cough.
Yeah.
And the other thing I was going to bring up is the flu and the strep, and that's been pretty prevalent too. Here since school started. That first week it was quiet. I said the first 7 to 10 days is
you
quiet.
Said the
and
Q word.
Just,
that's why right. you don't say the Q word. You don't
right.
say quiet.
Everybody gets together, right?
Yeah.
And socializes and
yeah,
so
then
forth.
We got holidays coming, so
right.
you know, we'll go through this. Everybody it's what happens is during the summertime everybody's away from each other, so then you get everybody in a crowded area and you know how that spreads. It just
right.
and then same thing, you know, you holidays, people go visit other people, everybody's together, and that's
just the scenario of it all, and it just continues. Okay, so moving on with that, under the health and safe school environment, we were talking about in, I think it was last March or May, about the Narcan policy, and as far as TASB goes, starting January of 24, we have to have a policy in place. So I'm going to let, if Scott wants to talk a little bit about what his team, what the SROs are doing, and then I will go ahead and continue on with that.
So for the SROs, we've been carrying since last April, I believe, is when we went through our course and got issued Narcan. So all the SROs have Narcan on them already and been carrying it. So that's what we're going to continue to do with our side, is just continue to do the Narcan, carry it on as
and you did a training?
Yes.
Okay. Officer Salas, do you want to say anything about Narcan or anything in the community?
Well, all our officers, we all carry the Narcan, either on a vehicle or on their personal property. So
okay.
I don't know what's used yet.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone's been trained on it.
So what in the school districts, I know Kennedy's got a policy and Fall City just got on and they have a policy. And so what TASB is asking is what we need to decide. Are we going to do all campuses? It's only mandated from 6, or it'll be junior high to high school campuses, or do we want to do all campuses? And so my thinking is, since we have SROs on majority of the campuses or all of the campuses and they're carrying, why not? the Narcan itself, of course, you have to be trained in being able to use it. And then the other two school districts, they keep the Narcan where we have our AEDs in the little cabinets. It doesn't have to be locked up. It's just in the cabinet. And that's something that we can decide we want to do. Also, is just have it that way. And then different people, different employees on different campuses get trained for it. And then they say it's pretty simple, and that's where we would go with it. So I don't know. I know Joanne is curriculum director and some other things. What is your thinking about the policy and having it on all campuses or just certain campuses and holding it in the AED cabinets?
I agree that it can be at all campuses. Mm-hmm. I like the idea that SROs are
yes.
all trained already and
yes.
they have that available on them, and we would go that route. I have a little bit of concern about it being in a cabinet. I don't know. I'm not sure. What does that look like?
Narcan.
Oh, it's a little thing.
Yeah, nobody's ever been allergic to it. You can't overdose on it. It's one of those drugs that it's just a nasal spray.
Okay.
And it is a nasal spray. I didn't bring that up, but that's
anyone
pretty
ever
simple.
Tamper with the AED boxes?
So what I was thinking with our AED boxes, of course, you know, I've been here a while, and we started having our first or second AED since 2007. Yeah. And so there had only been one time, and it was at high school. Back then, we used to have the cabinet locked with the key. We decided a few years ago not to do that because in an emergency situation, the key is the way we had it. It's like a magnet, and the key was there. But we timed it, and it took almost 2 minutes for us because if you're nervous and all to unlock it and get it, if somebody is coding, you only have 4 minutes. And so we decided, okay, let's be brave and keep the cabinets open. So there was only one time since 2007 that someone tampered with the lock, which they didn't know it was already open, but they had tampered. They had a paper clip, and it was all bended up and into the lock area where you're going to put your key. And that has been the only time, only one time. After that, it is kind of amazing that even, you know, students, they've done the fire thing, the fire alarms, and maybe that I'm saying this, something's going to happen, but it is very amazing to me that no student opens it up and runs. And now we have the Stop the Bleed kits in our AED cabinets.
And
the hallways. And so, and that's all open. And the Narcans are just little containers that you have in there. So there'll be no reason why it can't be in there. It's just knowing that it's in there. And
I kind of feel, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, kids might think, ooh, if they find out what it is and what it's for, that they might just take one because...
I was going to say, what if they
know.
Do take it, and then when you need it, God
yeah.
forbid,
right.
it's not there, because who would be checking
two,
it? You know?
Two solutions to that. The AED boxes already have an alarm. They're not activated.
Oh.
Yeah, but they're not activated. The
I
only
know.
Way
so
it's going to be activated is
we
go back to the key and all of that business.
No, they have a plunger system in there where it opens up. It's just like the pull station
okay.
where you see the covers on. When you take off the cover, it goes...
Like the fire alarm.
Yeah.
It has that plastic cover when you lift it up, it goes wee wee wee.
But we can activate that, get those
okay.
fixed, and then two, do a tamper seal. It's just like you see the gas stations, a seal that goes around the
oh,
corners.
Yeah, that little plastic.
But they're easy
tools.
To break once you pull open. That way you always know if somebody's opened it or not.
Right.
And you can't, I mean, if the kids took it and gave it to themselves, I mean,
that's and not to like just give it to themselves, but like if they know what it's for, thinking, oh, well, it's. Somebody tries this. I have it on me. I can,
mm-hmm.
you know, like.
Right.
I don't know what kids think.
But I go back to the, I think the reason why the kids aren't messing with that equipment now is the education that we provide.
Yeah, I was
going to
say.
Yeah.
They're in a different mentality
that
they want to make sure
it's there. For,
yeah.
And, you know, that's my thinking about that.
Yeah.
So education on anything that you would put in there that's open would be definitely needed. And I think that would help. That situation
yeah.
also.
I think we can run that by, you know,
yes,
the administration, right, and make sure that, like, whatever we decide is.
Right, and then after that, then it'll go, then it needs to go to the board.
Maybe we put in the AD bag where it's out of sight, out of mind, because
no, you
people don't need to be, well, I mean, people still need to be grabbing that bag no matter what, because how do you really know that it's overdose?
That's true. Times.
Right.
So why not just grab and go, and then everything's in that AD
right.
bag.
Right.
You just, everybody that's trained on it knows the Narcan's in
that's
this
what
bottle.
We have ours. We have our Stop the Bleed, AD, and Narcan all in
everything is together.
There you go.
Only because we've heard situations where somebody has been found unresponsive, mm-hmm. and you can give them the Narcan immediately, and nothing. Mm-hmm. If they don't come out of it, then you obviously know you.
Right.
You already have your AED and stuff ready to go.
Right. And the thing with our AED bags, the way they are, they're so confined. There's most probably there's pockets on there, but we keep the AED pads in
yeah,
those
but
pockets.
There's, I mean, most AEDs you should be able
and,
to fit that
unless
small.
You open it up and put it in there, but we'll. We'll look at that.
The backside has see. The pocket where you just slide
mm-hmm.
it in.
Right, right. Okay. All right, so then we can meet with administration. We just know that we need to get this worked on and have in place as of January of the new year. And also, if I'm not mistaken, Joanne, you may know that isn't it mandated that students need to have training on opioids and Narcan and all of that, or no? Awareness?
That might be new, and I haven't seen
okay.
that because I was out for
yeah.
and then I didn't deal with
it. And I'm not, I'm, it's just one of the other nurses had said from 6th grade to 12th grade, and I says, well, I know
for
CPR awareness we have to do, and now they're saying for students from 12th grade to 6th grade, from 12th grade, they have to have AED awareness also, which we've never done the AED awareness. We've just done the CPR awareness. So if you'll look, we'll look into that.
And you're saying the Narcan as well?
They were talking about opioid awareness and what can be done for it. And so the Narcan came up, but I don't know if that means. Because that way, if the students know that this is, it's just like how Trey had said too, that they're aware and they know, you know, what the AEDs are for and for safety. And the students are being educated. And maybe that's why then they don't really mess with the cabinets and so forth. Okay. Any other input? Like at the hospital, Allison works at the hospital. Are they? Do they have the Narcans?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Which maybe that's something that. I mean, there's the ER and
yeah,
so forth.
Yeah,
I was
going to
say.
Right.
Yeah,
the ER is
right
probably
there.
Locked and loaded.
So we do have AEDs scattered
yes.
around. Yes,
and I know that y'all have the AEDs. So. Okay, the next thing is the safety trainings. On the safety training on my part, we were just talking about Stop the Bleed. I know with Safe Schools, everybody does the video, and then we still have to have the skills check off. And I know that, Joanne, we've been talking about it. Like on a half day, we're still working on it.
I was wondering if we could find out if anybody would be available to come January the 3rd. Is that our staff day? I know teachers are going to want to work in their rooms, but if we could do a rotation.
But see how we, well, you weren't here, but we did it the end of the school year, and it was just quick. Everybody
yeah,
rotated through, right?
We could do it then.
Yes. So it's January the 3rd?
January 3rd.
Sheila, are you going to pick me up?
So that can, we can keep that open, and I know,
sorry.
Officer Scott, too, said that he can even assist with that.
Okay.
Yes.
With the skills part. And that'll give us, if it's January the 3rd, then we check
and
with our Barnes
County
EMS.
Have each
people can just rotate in and out.
Through.
Yes. Everyone can just rotate in and out there. The other thing was the awareness or the training for students, 6th grade through 12th grade. My understanding is they can have the Stop the Bleed video. They don't have to have the skills check off, but I feel like they need to have the check off also instead of just watching the video.
Yeah, because we have the two Stop the Bleed roulage kits, and then I'm up to 27 tourniquets
okay.
for training.
So you would be able to do that for the students? Okay.
They do a really good job with it.
Okay.
Like they know it. Y'all should go watch
answers. They know how to respond. They know the training up and down.
Kids?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, yeah.
But they really, truly, like, at least the high school kids. I can't speak for the littles. But
right.
Having seen it two or three times now, like, I was surprised because they don't exactly pay attention to a whole lot, but they sure do pay attention to that.
Well, that's good.
This is, you know,
and it's something that's very necessary and needed because you never know. It can be at home, on the road, anywhere, in any school setting. And so I get back with Joanne. So that would
be scheduled.
So that would need to be scheduled. And what they'd kind of done in the past is like either do what?
Early outs.
Early outs to where they could fit that in, rotate with some other.
And then student-wise, it was always, you know, towards the end of a semester when it was, they were watching movies for half a day, they would
you needed something to fill in, hopefully.
I'm not hearing you say that.
Like end of May. I get it kind of, like if we did it like after
yeah, we've
the
always liked the end of May.
Yeah.
And it's always after
like
the
safety thing too.
Yeah. And it's usually after all the testing is done. Is
well, and if we did certain grade levels on certain days because of testing,
yes,
not being tested,
yes,
that would help.
That
yes, we did that when like seniors didn't have to test,
yes,
and you
we
needed them to be on campus
a different time, yeah, and
right.
Because I think 1 year we did where seniors didn't have to show up until noon that day,
mm-hmm.
and then the next year we were like, we should do the training during that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's been mentioned as well.
It has,
Mr. Hutchins, yes,
okay,
doing something like that towards the testing.
We also did the interaction with law enforcement. I did for the, what was it, last year?
Is that mandated?
Freshmen, juniors. Yeah, for the
and that's something that's mandated?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something we did during testing season.
Okay. We'll keep that on our calendars and work on that. Okay, all right, we're going to go ahead and have Trey do his little talk because he said he's going to need to leave.
Yes, thank you for moving that up. I don't really have too much. The beginning of the year is all just getting back into the norm of feeding kids again and getting them, especially the littles and the sixth graders and freshmen used to a new environment on eating. But starting October 1st, it's actually Monday the 2nd, our Farm Fresh Challenge begins. It runs for a week. And basically that's our government trying to push us to do locally grown vegetables, fruits and vegetables. And all they're requiring you to do is one time during that week. Well, since DOD Fresh is a federal program that I've been taking advantage of for the last 5 years. All of my fruits and vegetables come from within 75 miles of Carson City. So I use them every single day on every single dish. There's stuff, something else that's a Farm Fresh that they consider as Tyson, since Tyson is Texas. So if we have chicken nuggets, chicken strips, which they're, I love to hate them. But I'm not a fan of serving processed foods to our students, but unfortunately our littles want pizza and chicken nuggets. But that's also considered a local farm fresh item since it's from Texas. So that starts the second, which what I do is I go through the campus and I take pictures of plates and I send it to the government. I upload them into our TXUMPS. I do it all the time. I wish they would recognize me on something because I try to do some pretty cool stuff with it. Other than that, the month of October is getting ready for verification for November. We have Thanksgiving that's going to be here before long. So we have a director's meeting tomorrow. So I'm going to be talking about or asking principals how they foresee Thanksgiving's happening on their campuses, if there's any changes, if they see anything new or want to try something different. So that's what's coming up for me right now. For y'all that don't know, we were talking about programs and stuff. I actually do run the NSLP school breakfast program, which is a national school lunch program and breakfast program that is regulated by USDA, if y'all don't know what the Child Nutrition Director has involved with. But the USDA from our federal level mandates to TDA, and then they mandate down to the local level, which would be me, and that's how we regulate our nutritious, delicious lunches and breakfasts that we give out to our students. That's all I have right now.
Okay. All right, Trey, thank you.
Thank you very much.
We'll move on to the immunization program. I just wanted to mention with our immunization program here, last year we were connected with the virtual school, and so when I sent in the annual immunization report to the state, we had we were deficient with many of the needed immunizations for the virtual school. So we had gotten notification at the beginning of the school year, because of our deficiency, we're going to have a state audit on our immunization records here at Kern City ISD. So I just wanted to bring that up. We haven't had an audit, and most probably it's been about 15 years back when they might have had more employees to where different people from the health department would be able to come and just make sure that the records are in place. We haven't had one since then. And so they sent notification and said that they can expect us anytime between September and May.
That's nice.
Really?
Yes.
That's a nice window.
Right.
And they can't say anytime between 8 and 5.
That's right.
They'll keep you on your toes till the end of the year.
That's right. It will. It will. And we're working really hard. We've had several students from different countries coming in. And so their immunizations are deficit in different ways. And so then we do the 30-day provisional enrollment, or we give them 30 days. And it's very difficult, because trying to get them to a clinic, to a doctor, many of the doctors here want to do the health checks. We would almost prefer us nurses for these if they're coming from what we had, El Salvador, of course, Mexico, we had Nigeria, Nicaragua, and then Cuba.
Yeah.
And we would really love it if they could get a checkup from head to toe, make sure that they're healthy, along with getting their immunization. So it takes a lot of time for us, and try to getting with them, and there, of course, is the language barrier. So there we have Ms. Zimmerman kind of running all over, helping us out with that. But of course, you know, we want these kids to be in school. We want them to get an education, but we want them to be safe and healthy also. So we're working on that. I know that we are maybe behind with one or two, I think maybe two students, past 30 days, but we're working and doing the best we can. And we do have email documentations just in case if the state walks in with the with their audit or whatever. I mean, we have documentation, and we're working and doing, like I say, the best that we can with that. Any input on that, health department?
No, we have been seeing pretty much influx of people that are coming with no records, so they're starting
right
from scratch. And so it's keeping us busy. And the same thing, I want them in school, so we try to make walk-ins and availability as much as we can, but at the same time, I agree with you. They still need to be established with a home base. We don't have a doctor.
Right.
So they come to our clinic, they're going to see me and just give them the vaccine they need and out the door.
Mm-hmm.
So they still need to be established with the doctor. So we'll get them in to get them here, but, you know, I'd still keep pushing that they need to either get to the community health clinic where there's actually a physician.
Right.
But we're doing the best we can to help y'all.
We're all doing good. Thank you. Thank you for helping, because I know we were just talking to y'all today on that. We'll go ahead and move on item 4, which is the SHARE curriculum, and I just put discussion on that. So the SHARE curriculum is a curriculum that many of us SHAC members had worked on last year in regards to our, it was the Senate Bill 9 and then also on human sexuality. The Senate Bill 9 was dealing with human sexuality instruction, the prevention of sex abuse, family violence, dating violence, and sex trafficking. And with a lot of hard work, we were able to do a presentation or several presentations, and then we went to the school board at the end of July, and we've got the program SHARE out of Seguin that will provide curriculum for our students. And I know Joanne is new, and we're going to start working on it to find out or decide exactly when we will get the share implemented. This is an opt, it has to be opt-in. We have to send out notification to parents. Parents have to sign the forms, and we have to have that in before we can be doing the presentations and implementation of that. Joanne, did you have anything to say about that or no?
No, I think we got a question about when we might be able to do that in, like at the junior high, and we were going to refer to their campus to get a schedule together.
Right. And I think that I had sent you an email also, because I've had some teachers, you know, at the junior high, I hate to say hormones and all, and since last year, there's just a lot of times the students will reach out to the teachers and ask about a lot of, you know, human sexuality things and so forth. So that's why I was sending out to Joanne and reaching out. And you know what we've done in the past, which we haven't done in 2 or 3 years, is we always had to wait till we did all of our testing, and then it would wait till sometimes in May to even do that type of curriculum. And that may all work out together with our other trainings that we have to do with the students. So we'll continue to look or work on that. The next thing is just wellness activities. The school health wellness, school employee wellness, community wellness activities. And I was just going to ask around, see, I know that I had asked Amanda, we had It's Time Texas last year, mm-hmm. that we had quite a few employees.
So basically I just reached out to Megan, AgriLife. They have a lot of free programs for the community. AgriLife is at the top, and then the It's Texas Time. It's Texas Time doesn't begin until the end of the year. So
okay.
She said that they do have the Walk Across Texas, which many of y'all have heard. They do have the youth program and the adult program. She said it can be started at any time, so mm-hmm. you can implement that at any time. They also have Stress Less with Mindfulness for adults. It's 5 sessions. And then they have Mindful Self for junior high age kids, and that's 6 lessons with mental health and mindfulness that they have to offer. And then they also can do some home food safety stuff. So I just scanned the QR code for the Walk Across Texas. Mm-hmm. She said that if you have any questions, you can get with her and she can give you more information on those programs. And then at the bottom, the It's Texas Time is the one where we had Kern City and Kennedy compete. Mm-hmm. It was really fun. I think Stockdale came in 3rd overall in the state mm-hmm. of Texas.
On the state of Texas?
Yes. They had like 20.
Well, they had like all of their employees. Participating in it.
So they came in 3rd for the state of Texas for a
and
small
Stockdale's
area.
Small.
And that's like right next door. I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, people, we can get up again.
Right.
Anyways, Kern City beat Kennedy last year, so I hope that we can mm-hmm. continue that. That challenge is the beginning of the year. So the It's Texas Time still has free telehealth coaching, so you can actually register and speak with people about healthy eating. It's all free, and they also do free exercises and nutrition classes. They actually have a calendar where you can do yoga and stuff. So if the adults here in school, like the employees, wanted to just get a group together and do that, and that's free for the community as well. So, but I left them there if anybody wants to scan and get some more information.
Okay.
And then as soon as I hear about the registration for this, I'll send it out, but it hasn't been out yet.
Okay. And that can be brought up at the director's meeting too, per campus. And I don't know if any of the campuses, I know that Ms. Foster, last year, y'all did a type of a weight loss.
We did do a weight loss challenge. It was from January through March.
Okay.
Something else, too, that we made a big deal on campus, but not off of the campus, was we paired up with the American Heart Association. And so each of the kids had to go through challenges on an app where they learned like first aid stuff. They even learned hands-on
CPR?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Through this app. And then, so this year, I'm sorry, I can't tell you how much mm-hmm. money we raised last year. It was like 2,000 something. I gave them a goal, and if they reached it, they got to slime me, and I got slimed.
Oh!
I remember that.
Yeah, and so this year, they're challenging us to continue, and if we reach a certain amount, the school gets like a $500 incentive if the kids reach it. So we'll continue with it again. So when it comes through, it happens around February. There's a kickoff assembly in February, and then there's an assembly when it ends, and that's when the students get to slime and all that good stuff.
So they most probably do it in February, because isn't that the American Heart Month?
Yes, ma'am.
And so that all that coordinates together.
If you looked at this, you could probably put the walk across Texas, mm-hmm. and then do the It's Texas Time, and that ends right around that.
To combine it together, work it together.
You could even offer all that throughout the year.
Is that open to like kids too, or
yes.
is it just adults? It
The It's Texas Time, I believe that's the one we found. It was like 11 and older.
Yeah, 11 and older. So I was
kind of disappointed. But the classes and stuff, you can still, you know, you can have them participate in the yoga or whatever it is, the
mm-hmm.
Zumba yoga. You can get anybody to participate in that. But the AgriLife, they do have the Walk Across Texas for youth age kids. So
okay.
Something to look into.
That sounds good. We can bring it up to our directors. I didn't put number 7. Usually I have any other concerns or items that anybody wants to bring up. I know Patricia
mm-hmm.
has she came in a little bit later. So did you want to, what would you like to say? And it is being audio, so loud.
Okay, well, I just wanted to piggyback off of the wellness activities.
Yeah.
So as you guys know, I'm with Francis working with the Rural Area Mental Health Professional Enhancement and Development Grant. And so we're promoting mental health and wellness. So we are, we're partnering with the Chamber, who is sponsoring the Trick or Treat event. And we're sort of hosting a mini event within the big Trick or Treat event by handing out mental health wellness materials as well as candy and other kind of safety information to parents and families that are coming through. So in order to make that a success, we need some partners to have booths that are willing to be with us so we can be this event within the event. And we would love for you guys to think of creative things that you could give out to your families and to our kiddos of the community. And so we would love to do that. I have the form if you guys are interested, if you want to fill one out, or if you want to take it with you and fill it out later. But we think that's an awesome opportunity to promote the grant, but mostly the health and wellness of our kids.
That sounds good. Thank you.
Yes. We've been working with them. They talk about your self-care challenge, or do you want me to talk about it? But you should, because it's y'all's program. Well, I can talk about just the development. You can talk about how
sure.
it's coming along on your campus.
Yeah.
But we really want to take care of the mental health needs of our staffs across the 5 districts that we are servicing with the RAMP grant. And we know that if our teachers aren't mentally healthy and well, then they're not going to be able to service the students well. So we are giving them this opportunity to just take care of themselves. They have to make themselves a priority, or they can't take care of anybody else. So every month we're sponsoring a little self-care challenge that we send out to all of the districts in hopes that staff members will take some time for themselves, and they're easy things that they can do, and then we reward them on completion of their challenge. So we've had a successful August challenge. We sent out our September challenge, which is just a bingo card. They only have to do 5 things, and we hope they're having fun in the meantime.
I see some of our staff, like, they're like, oh, you have your card out. And so I turned off my social media for a while based on the recommendation, and it's been nice to take a breath from that. And so I don't know how many participated in August from our staff, but there were some that were like, hey, I completed my challenge. Can you turn it in for me, or whatever the case may be? And where's the September one? I'm like, oh gosh. So they're participating and they're looking for it. So it's nice. And I also called on the RAMP grant to come and help with, they will be providing training to our 2nd and 3rd grade teachers on calming corners in the classroom for our students. So I'm excited about that. And so it's nice that they're here to partner with us, and it takes a little something off of me and Miss Uragas. So it's good.
That sounds good. Thank you so much. That is very, and what's the bingo? What is that? What are the,
it's the self-care?
Yeah.
It's just a bingo card.
It's like a bingo card, and you do the activities.
And that's to all of the campuses?
I sent it out to the elementary in August and September.
But all the campuses should have it.
And all of the campuses have it. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Self-care. Very important for each and every one of us.
And then they bring you a cute little treat if you participate.
Oh. That sounds good. You know how treats are. Anything extra, we're for it, right? Okay.
You want to
adopt stepchildren.
I know.
Okay, thank you so much for that. Does anybody else have anything they want to, concerns or input?
I have a concern as a parent.
Yes.
Junior high, they don't use lockers. Is that correct? Is there a reason why?
Before our time.
Yeah.
I know. They
stopped because there was issues with food in the lockers.
There was food and,
so
and then people were
they
storing
were cleaning
things
them out
there.
And so it became like a health hazard,
yes,
because of insects and rodents and stuff like that. At least that was what back in the day.
Yeah.
That
how long
was
ago was that?
It was definitely pre-COVID.
Yes.
And it had to have been what, four years ago?
Yeah.
I haven't been at junior high
5 years.
Since Marcus was in junior high practically. So well, it's like
only reason I'm saying is because my little sixth grader carries his backpack with a laptop, 3 library books, and the gym bag, and comes out. And he's
little.
Puny. And I'm just like, and so I grabbed his backpack one day and I slung it. I was like, it almost pulled me over. And I was like, what do you have in here? And it's the stuff that he needs. He's like, Mom, I have to take this. Like, I have to take my charger and my laptop. And so I put it on the scale and it was like 15, 17 pounds. And I'm just like, why can't y'all even use the lockers? I'm just asking, what was the purpose of taking that option away, like, so they don't have to carry all that stuff?
Right. I know it was the food, and then people putting things, there was once or twice, somebody put something else in somebody else's locker, and
yes,
it was something that shouldn't have been there that caused problems to where it ended up, the student ended up having a disciplinary issue and
yes,
ended up having to go to DAEP. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But even
Charlie
though, and
cut locks off,
yes,
that also was not fun.
Right, right.
Darlene.
But I know you are the assistant principal.
Yes. Well, since I've been here, of course, we haven't used
yeah
the lockers. We don't have lockers at the high school. I know some students drop bags at the first period class, and they pick them up at the end of the day. Or if they know a teacher or real close to a teacher, they do store some things in that classroom,
yeah,
or they know it's safe. The majority of our students are multiple things that carry around.
It's not good for their back.
Yeah,
so,
and I get that when you're like a bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm talking about these little puny
yes
sixth
yeah
graders.
Yes. And I think that's where they find teachers to kind of keep bags in. And if they need to keep some stuff at the office as well, we can do that. But as far
mm-hmm
as the lockers are concerned, I haven't
yeah
heard of a conversation about them. Or
they've been bolted shut since
right
pre-COVID.
Yeah. Been 5 years.
I was just curious, like, what was the point?
Right.
You know, I know, like, back then, it's like you could leave your locker open or you could put a lock.
Mm-hmm.
But the office had to have the key or the code in case
mm-hmm
they need to do
because
searches
then
the drug dogs would come in.
Yes.
And, you know, I remember that from back then.
Mm-hmm.
But
from your son.
When I was walking through the meet the teacher, and I was like, oh, I wonder what lockers. If we don't use lockers, they don't let us use them. Like, why? They're there. Like, what's going on there? So just curious what
okay
happened. But, you know.
Right.
I just feel bad for these little puny kids that
well,
they just haven't
I
hit that growth spurt yet. You know, they're just
yeah. I've always been concerned because of their backs.
Yes, and you know that's a whole other thing. You know,
another issue that
15
can
pounds every day. Yeah, so
okay,
that's just my concern as a parent. What is
okay
what was the reasoning?
I can get with Ms. Ruiz,
have a discussion with her also. Okay.
And I'm for, like, the whole thing, you know, do this locker searches and all that. You know, we definitely don't want kids putting stuff that they shouldn't. But.
Right. That's true.
And unfortunately, in this day and age, you know, some schools have even gone to backpacks where you have to be able to see through the backpack.
Yeah,
and
the clear
it's
backpack.
A safety measure as well
yeah
these days.
And I'm just like, why do you bring your laptop? Why can't you just leave it at the school, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, everything's through the laptop now.
So they are taking their laptops at junior high?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Yep.
And I'm just like, don't drop your backpack, you know, because he's just flinging it around and it's in there.
They have to be able to do their.
They most
they're
probably have work or
yeah
something to do.
Yeah.
I'm
like,
why
can't you just leave that in the classroom? Well, because they're changing between classrooms,
yes,
so they got to take it.
It's a whole different
they
world.
They got to have it, yeah. It's just
a whole different world
yeah
for them at the junior high.
Keep
it charged.
And they have to charge it, yeah.
And keep it charged,
yeah.
We'll have Mr. Sanrusi talk to Ms. Have a discussion. We'll put it that way. Have a discussion.
Now that we have these lovely officers.
I know.
You know? Maybe open the lockers back.
Maybe open the lockers.
Well, that's a big
lot of maintenance there. Okay, so we'll move on to C. We usually have a meeting in November. And if somebody wants to look at a calendar, it's usually the third Wednesday.
That's the week of 15th.
Is it Thanksgiving?
That would be Thanksgiving. Or no, no, it's the week before. Before
the 15th. So it's the week before, and we're here the whole day?
Yes, ma'am.
So it'd be 4 o'clock on November 15th?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we'll have meeting adjourned at 4:52. And thank everybody for being here and your input. And Rita, thank you.
You bet. Okay. Sorry I couldn't be here in person, but it was very informative.
That's okay. You have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
You know, what's sad too is, you know, some of these, the privileges kind of taken away because some kids don't know how to.
I know! That's life in general.
Certain privileges have been taken away. I'm just trying to think of schools I've been at where they've had lockers recently.
Have you had
any? The last three districts I've been at.
I bet not.
They're not allowed to leave the
books.
They're not
allowed to leave the books. Like, books stay.
Oh, but thank you so much for being here.
And there's not that many years.
So our regular age, the other ones have that back part, but
I know. I remember in high school. Remember
the back part is the. And just the inside of it is packed in with we're getting rid of that. I mean, we're going to move on to the cardiac. I like the cardiac science one, the way it's carried in the case, because in that side you can put some stuff. And have positive back in the deck is supposed to have, because you have to be ready for a second save. You have to have two sets.
So I had a second set.
Yeah, are we going to hit them just like that, or is it going to be a box in a box?
Because
ours is in a box that we have to.
You just open the box and they come individual.
Scott, I won't see you tomorrow.
You know what, Julie? If you didn't, you can always email it to me tomorrow, because I'm not going back to the office today.